I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Tanya Brown. We're going to be talking about caregiving in the workplace, and she has a survival guide for you. She's no stranger to adversity or trauma. With the loss of her sister, Nicole Brown Simpson, she was faced with overwhelming life challenges, but used these obstacles to ultimately improve the quality of her life. She became a domestic violence advocate, doing speaking engagements and training that would inform people about the horror of abuse at home. Adding to her repertoire, 10 years after the loss of Nicole, she suffered her own mental breakdown. And as a result, she made a personal commitment to speak on the issues of how to overcome adversity and promote healthy mental health for overall well-being. She was also a caregiver for her dad as well. She's a nationally recognized author, speaker, and life coach. She uses the lessons from her experience with Nicole and her own suicide attempt to help others with life challenges. Well, Tanya, you're certainly transparent, if nothing else, and I do appreciate you being on the summit. And for the viewers, Tanya and I have been corresponding for many, many months, and we're seeing each other for the first time. So welcome to the summit.
Thank you. I appreciate this.
So tell us a little bit, what do you know about caregiving stress? Seems kind of obvious after an introduction, but tell us in your own words.
Does this say anything? Yes. you're never prepared for this. And you know, as we age and we care for people who age, you know, maybe it's your daughter, your son. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, an elderly parent or, you know, father, mother. It's, caregiving is tough, and it's, nobody ever prepared us for this, but Anthony, this was the thing. I was in our guest bathroom and my mom was in the guest bedroom. And at the same time, I kind of want to bring everybody back into, I want to share this scenario, because even though I was in the guest bathroom, my mom's in the guest bedroom making up the bed because I think Sydney and Justin were coming down for a week. And I heard my mom say this: "I guess this is what they call caregiver burnout." My mom did not know that I was in the guest bathroom. I heard this. So I'm the counselor in the family. I'm kind of the nurse, not licensed practitioner,
but
I'm the caregiver in the family. I'm that healing heart in the family. So when I heard that, I didn't even tell my mom that I heard what she said. I immediately went to my sisters and I said, "Denise, Dominique, I just heard this." And being a graduate student of counseling psychology, you hear about different scenarios. So you hear about caregiver burnout, I mean, in your studies, but Anthony's stuff got real that day. So I went to Dominique and I went to Denise and I said, "Hey, you guys, I heard Dita, that's what we call my mom. So if you hear me say Dita, it refers to my mom. This is what I heard Dita say." Now at the time, she's 80. Dad is in full blown late stages of dementia, early Alzheimer's, going through a lumpectomy. She had 14 lymph nodes taken out. My mom doesn't have any hair or eyebrows at this time. So there's a lot, and I'm going through graduate school. So there was a lot of chaos, a lot of stress, a lot of life things that I needed to manage, that we all needed to manage. But when I heard my mom say that, I was like, something needs to be done, because you hear about it and you don't really realize how real that statement is until you hear it or experience it. So immediately we deciphered everybody's role. So Dominique would take care of the administration. It's like, okay, what programs are available for Daddy. Daddy was a World War II vet, bomber pilot, B-17 in World War II. Denise took my mom to get her respite, whether it was radiation, chemo, and then Starbucks after. Me, I would be home with my dad. I mean, we all had our role, and those roles were really established. And I think that's a big message for all of your listeners. Establish your roles, because you can't be everything to all people. And I'm not good in administration, Anthony, you know that. but I care, and I'm the nurse, I'm the provider, I care, I'm the coach, I'm the counselor. Denise, she didn't want to, you know, she knew she didn't, this was not her role. Like, I can't take care of daddy. That's too hard for me. That's okay. She had her role. And I don't look down on anybody or everybody. We all established our roles on what can we do to make this transition easier, because stuff just got really real that day. And, you know, when you, life doesn't stop. You got to work, you got to raise kids. And at that time, like I said, I was going through graduate school. You got to do what you got to do. So again, and you know, if you introduce my history, I attempted a suicide in 2004. And so when I was going through this whole transition with daddy, I was like, okay, Tanya, you got the tools, tap in. What can you do to remain calm? And then those tools we will introduce later. But I'm not foreign to this entire thing. I mean, I remember my dad. I remember rubbing my daddy's shoulders. And I'm 5'11". My dad's 5'8". And I remember rubbing his shoulders and go, Daddy. And I'm being totally transparent. I said, Daddy, don't make me hate you. You know, and I understand that. I understand, you know, elder abuse. I understand that. But that's why I'm an advocate for the self-care part. Because if you're not tuned in to your own well-being, no one is immune to outrage. No one, you never know what that trigger is.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you talk about, you know, kind of the delineation of duties. Because when you're a caregiver in the workforce, I think if you have a good support system at home, obviously that's going to help. And you alluded to something else. You know, we covered in our last summit. We had Catherine Falk on, daughter of Peter Falk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's done all kind of work around the Peter Falk Act and, you know, about caregiving and guardianship. That was the word that was eluding me there for a second. And I just read just recently, Tim Conway's family's going through the same thing. So thankfully, you know, when you have a family that has their act together, you could hopefully avoid that kind of thing. So
exactly. And that's, you know, thank you for saying that, because I think it's important to really leave ego at the door, leave it. I'm not here. I don't need to be in control. This is about daddy. This is about mommy. This is about my sister, or whatever that is for you, whomever that is for you. Leave ego at the door, because that is a three-letter word that will put your family into the grave. And at the end of the day, Anthony, your loved ones who are, they feel you.
No.
They feel. They may not comprehend. They may not, you know, they're not, you know, coherent maybe enough. But they feel. You know, put yourself into a situation. Again, you're dealing with a three-year-old in maybe a 90-year-old body. They feel. Kids feel. They may not understand. You know, may I mention something with Nicole?
Sure.
So it was 1992, Nicole, I was 23 at the time. So it was New Year's Eve, we had all gone, and I wrote about this in my book, and we had all gone to Spago's, and Nick said, hey, Tanya, you know what, come to, you know, I need to go to the bathroom. And that's what girls do, right? We go to the restroom together.
Together, yes. So,
yes. And she said to me, she goes, tonight I'm asking for a divorce. Not knowing anything about her history, nothing. And I said, okay. And she goes, do you think I'm making the right decision? And I said, Nick, I go, do you love your kids? She goes, oh my God, more than I love myself. And I said, then you're making the right decision. Then I followed it up with this. Kids will always understand. They will always feel, but they may not get it. So it's the same thing. You know, it's, as people age, they become children again. So any energy you're bringing into caring for your loved one, they feel it.
They feel it.
They feel your stress. They feel the chaos. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm a burden to my kids. I'm a burden to my daughter, my wife. And so that's why I'm a big stress management advocate. It's how do we find peace amid caregiving chaos? Because this stuff is very real. And the last thing that you want your loved one to go into the ground with is like, oh my God, I was a burden. No, you right. don't want that. Yeah. And I mean, look, I'm presenting with a smile because we have no regrets. We established rules. I had to, you know, go through graduate school. My other sister had to go through work. Denise managed, you know, her work. We all established our roles. And as long as people hold on to ego, you are causing more stress and chaos. And because we all have to work for a living.
Sure. Sure.
So there's, and you know, speaking about the workplace, honestly, it's like, I, as well as you, we need to help establish how employers can understand that over 52% of caregivers are in the workplace right now. So if I'm working on the computer and I'm an administrator and I get a call from mom and dad saying mom fell, I need my employer to understand my mom just fell, my dad just fell. So we need to really figure out that dynamic and bring that cohesiveness together, because until the employers understand the dynamic of the caregiving chaos in the workplace, it's just going to get dismissed as, oh, she's too stressed. She doesn't know how to handle it. No, not the case.
Right.
So I really encourage all the, you know, the EAP people who are viewing in on this, all the HR staff, please, you've got to understand when your staff member, an employee comes to you and addresses, you know, it's just not family stuff. It's big.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're here to help.
Yeah. No, it all impacts everything. Everything impacts everything else. And it's interesting. You talk about kind of the, when people get to a point where they don't have a lot left, they do have their feeling and sensing. And that's, I was talking to my wife actually last night about equine therapy and how
yes.
when they bring people around horses, there's a calming effect where the heartbeat of the person starts matching that of the horse, and yes. all interaction with a horse is nonverbal. And it was fascinating to listen to that. They even said that PTSD patients and wild Mustangs, mm-hmm. there's an affinity between them. So point well taken about the nonverbal, the emotional.
Absolutely. It's energy. We're all energy. And when it comes to horse, when it comes to equine therapy, that's huge. I mean, and everybody should watch 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. Watch that movie and you will understand, you know, even though the movie is based on addiction, but the relationship that she has at the end with the horse says everything and it speaks volumes.
Wow.
So there are so many alternative means for us to, you know, get centered, whether it's, you know, essential oils. I got my deep blue from doTERRA because I've got a sprained ankle, right? I mean, lavender, you've got to do what you need to do. I'm a big self-care advocate. That's what I focus on. And if you don't breathe in the lavender, if you don't do your breath work, if you allow the chaos of the world to consume you, you are no good to the people you are caring for. So
right.
And nobody's alone in this. You know, I mean, my gosh, I know there are going to be many viewers in this summit, guaranteed, who are just like, oh my God, I'm an awful daughter. I'm an awful parent. I'm an awful son. No, you're not. You are not. It's just, you've got to reach out to the lifelines that are available to you. So there's you, there's me, there's my tribe, there's your tribe. Nobody is alone in this, and nobody gives you a manual on how to navigate through this. But I'll tell you one thing, Anthony, elder abuse is huge, but it begins with us. And if we don't know how to manage our self-care, if we don't know how to bring peace into our life, if we don't know how to manage our own chaos, and if we show up and we care for those that we love for, and we're stressed and we're nuts, guess what? No one is immune. Yeah. I did many personal check-ins. So I get very vulnerable. I don't hold anything back. This stuff is very real. There were probably a handful of times where, I wanted to hit my damn dad. I love my dad. You have no idea. My dad's a flipping gem. But when you are under so much stress and you don't know those tools on how to navigate through that, don't get yourself into trouble and do not bestow that chaos onto your loved one. Just don't. And I come with an open heart.
Transference, I could definitely see that. So what are some tips that our viewers and listeners can do to ease their stress?
Oh my goodness. Okay. There's a lot. So I wrote a book called Finding Peace Amid Chaos, but it's my personal memoir, and the subtitle is My Escape from Depression and Suicide. But when I wrote the book, many people were thinking, oh my gosh, Nicole. And I'm like, no, Nicole was only a minute part of the story. When we have unresolved pain and grief, stress, chaos, anxiety, whatever that is, my kids are driving me nuts, my husband, my wife, whatever that is for you, if they're driving you nuts, that's when we need to hone in on self-care strategies. So when I was writing my book, I'm completely transparent in the book. I hold nothing back. You know me. I hold nothing back because I made a commitment to myself. When I was going to do this book, the project, the outreach, the speaking, if I wasn't going to be 130,000,000% transparent and committed, I'm not going to be here like, oh, I'm perfect, because God knows I'm not. So when I was writing the book, my co-writer, William Croyle, said, so Tony, can you, maybe come up with, maybe 5 or 7 tools that you learned when you were in the hospital, in the psych unit, because obviously when you attempt a suicide, they keep you in a psych unit. And so I came up with 12, and I said, well, the 12-step program is already taken. I can't use that. He said, so give me those 5 that really work for you. And so with him, and then I have my own coach, and all together, we created the Tanya formula. And the Tanya formula can really navigate you through anything, like just through, oh my God, I'm having a stressful morning, or I'm going into a meeting today at work with my abusive business partner, whatever that is. So let me share that with you. So the Tanya formula is T, you got to talk about it. Whatever that is for, whatever it is for you, you have to talk about it, because I didn't talk about it. And the suicides that we've heard about with Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, Robin Williams, everybody has so much pride and they don't talk about their challenges. We're all human. We're people. And regardless of how much money you make, your social status, your Hollywood, SAG card, whatever that is, we have to talk about feelings. And in today's world, we're punished for it. Go to your room. If you're going to cry, go to your room. Go to the principal's office. Stop crying. Stop feeling. No, we need to feel. And I firmly believe if we can start allowing or creating a comfortable forum for people to talk about it, whatever that is, I firmly believe the things that we witness on the news every night will diminish. Just, we don't create a comfortable forum to say, I'm hurting, I'm sad, I'm stressed, right? So I'm going to give you another T. It's T2. It's my little gift to everybody.
Bonus.
Technological detox, Anthony. Oh my God, like, you're lucky that I even try to figure out how to do this Zoom thing. We need to teach people how to take technological detox moments all throughout the day. So the Amen Clinic, are you familiar with it, Dr. Yeah. Amen? Okay, so Dr. Amen, he's here. He's locally here in Southern California at the Amen Clinic. But I didn't meet with him. I met with a psychiatrist of his. And I said, Dr. Tucker, Lawrence Tucker. And I said, Dr. Tucker, why is it that we are seeing so much chaos and suicide and depression and, you know, not just with our youth, just as community as a whole? And he goes, it's easy. I'm like, okay, give me the answer. And there was a pause. Literally, there was a pause. Right. And he said, the brain is stressed. The brain. So you and I can say flippantly, like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I got to do this. I got to go here. No, the brain is stressed. So the brain, this thing right here, will take your life or will make it. So it is really time that we take technological detox all throughout the day. There's a great study called Manage Your Energy, Not Your Time by Harvard Review Business Journal. Read it, learn it, study it. It's an old study back in 2007, but it says a lot. And then the A is attention on the positive. You know, we all go through our crappy day. We have crappy friends, maybe a dismal job, whatever that is, the negative, like blah, 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 right? But there is always something positive in our life. So anytime that the negative chatty Kathy thing starts going off in your head, or the chatty Ken or whatever, right? Learn to shut that off by focusing in on what is working and what's not working. Okay? Because the second we focus in on what's not working, guess what? You get more of that in. We're all energy. So I'm not like an energy intuitive or anything like that. But all I know is that the more thoughts that you put out there and the more thoughts you feed your brain, the more it's going to come back to you. So always try. And I know it's hard. Oh my God, I had to do it today. I do it every day. I do it every single day. And it's a challenge. But the more you can focus on the attention on the positive, the A in the Tanya formula, the easier things will be. Now the N, nurture yourself. For all those moms, for all the sandwich generations, I've done it, you're doing it, you've got kids, whatever that is. You have to nurture yourself every single day. Whether that's walking around the block during your lunch hour, whether that's playing with your dog, your cat, your iguana, taking a hike, whatever brings you joy, gardening, cooking, whatever that is, 10 minutes. And if you can give more, it would be amazing.
Right.
But 10 minutes, nurture yourself. But the why in the Tanya formula is you have to schedule you into your day, because if you don't, you're going to go, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Oh, maybe next year. Well, guess what? You're going to be 90 and you're going to go, why didn't I ever do that? So you schedule your kids' ballet, soccer practices, doctor visits, right? We're scheduling this Zoom call. I've got, you know, I scheduled my mom's doctor's appointment, right? We have all these obligations. But without you putting that oxygen mask on yourself first and scheduling that time, you will always put yourself second. Always. Maybe even third, maybe even last. So that's the why. You have to schedule you into your day. And the last A is attitude of gratitude. Now, it may sound pop psychology, but science is showing that if you can go to bed every single night and give gratitude for at least five things, give me one. Let's just start there. Because there is something in that day, just one thing that you were grateful for. And what was that thing? Was it a child's laugh? You know, I have a crazy cat. She's cruising around here somewhere. I don't even know. But anyway, her name's Lucy and I call her Lucifer. And I love her. Lucy. But my joy is every time I hear my neighbor's little newborn baby, little Evelyn Rose. And it's that little laugh, that little new baby
Yep.
Why? And it's just like, oh, it's just so, it's endearing. So just, there's always something to be grateful for. Always. Even in the mess, there is always a silver lining. So that's a Tanya formula. Talk about it. Technological detox. Attention on the positive. Nurture yourself. You schedule yourself into your day. And the last A, attitude of gratitude.
That's perfect. And we're obviously, that's one of the handouts we're giving out as well. And, you know, there's nothing fluffy about the gratitude thing. I do it every night myself. Yeah. And it's the one thing I go out and talk, and I have one speech that I give where I talk about 8 things I've learned from seniors. But the one that I emphasize the most is gratitude. When you go into nursing homes and you find the ones that are leading the best possible life in the worst possible circumstance still have this incredible gratitude. They have the attitude and a bunch of other traits. So thank you for bringing that. Is there anything else you want to tell our viewers before we end our interview here?
I think, you know, just when you said that, you know, here I've been in hospice care for 2.5 years. I was with VITAS for 1 year, and then I was with OC Hospice for about 2 months. And, you know, it just always called my name after when, you know, I was a caregiver, and it's just the health aides and home care, home health care. I mean, it's part of my vocabulary. It's part of my being now. I want to introduce to all of your listeners, there is a Blue Ribbon. If you go to blueribbons.org, plural, blueribbons.org, I want to bring this little blue ribbon into our senior community. I've been an ambassador for the program probably for 23, 24 years, but it's been primarily used for the youth for suicide and prevention and depression prevention. But I want to bring it into the senior community. And it was something with Attentive Home Care here in Southern Orange County. And I brought it to their attention. And I said, hey, you know what, guys, I go into the facilities and it's like God's waiting room. And, you know, so many of the residents are just like dumped off by family members, and they don't even get visits. I mean, they don't even get phone calls, letters, nothing. It's like here. And so I spoke with my colleague, Freddie Dominguez, with Attentive Home Care here in Southern California. And I said, Freddie, something needs to be done. I said, these people need to know that they matter. And so I took the same concept, the same ribbon, and I went to the founder and the creator of the ribbon, Sparky Bridges. And you can look her up, blueribbons.org. And I said, Freddie, let's do something. I said, let's pass this blue ribbon out to our senior community to let them know who they are makes the difference. Who they are matters. And not even just the residents in the facilities. How about the staff? They're burned out. I mean, you've got Filipino families coming in, feeding their families in the Philippines. I mean, that's the majority. So that's my advocacy right now, is just to spread that, the Tanya formula and that little blue ribbon, and let people know that who they are matters, who they are makes the difference. And let's bring humanity back into our world. And I get it. You're the sandwich generation. You're listening to this. You're in the middle. You've got work, life, play. Hey, listen, my girlfriend, her husband is in a rehab right now because he needed to take on obligations and responsibilities because she needed to stay home and care for her mom. Another case two years ago happened where my friend's husband killed himself because of the stress of caregiver stress, because he had to take on another responsibility. So this stuff is real. It's not, I'm not sugarcoating this.
No, not at all.
People take their lives. They drink too much. They end up numbing their pain. So let's acknowledge them. And if you're listening, we're here. You're not alone. And all you have to do, we can't make you knock on our door, but we invite you to knock on our door and ask for help. And, you know, again, Anthony, if you don't have the resources, if I don't have the resources, but together we know the people who have the resources. So no one is alone in this. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And as someone who's been through it and come through the other side, you should know. So Tanya, I want to thank you for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit. You're exactly who I thought you would be. I'm very pleasantly surprised to have met you and where you reached out to me a year or so or more ago. And I thank you for that. And I'm glad that we had a chance to talk, and we'll talk again. So thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.